Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for personal care. If you have or you suspect you might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of this radio show or their sponsors.
We've been sitting around the table, drinking java by the cup. You know what? My lady wants me home. But when I sit down, I can't get up.
And welcome to Body Talk Live with Jeremy Gateman of Total Fit and Rehab, coming to you from Century City, California. I'm your host, Lori Z. Join us each week to learn something new about your body, pain, and solutions with the one and only Jeremy Gateman. Jeremy, how's it going today?
How are you? I was so looking forward to this. I talked to you during the week, but this is the best time to spend with you is when we do this radio show. I love it.
Thank you. Me too. And we've got a lot lined up. We're going to have a couple of callers today. We're going to be talking about TMJ, which I think is an important topic, joint mobility and pain, reading labels. So if you are listening to the show and you want to call in live, you can call 888-627-6008, and Jeremy will answer your questions. So, Jeremy, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you and I spoke earlier today, too, and if there's callers out there that don't want to be live on the radio, I totally understand. We totally understand. They're more than welcome to call me personally on the phone, or they can call the station, and we can go ahead and answer those questions and present them ourselves. And if that helps, that would be great.
Sure. And they can reach you at 310-994-9477. Sometimes people are embarrassed to call in the show, or they think people will recognize their voice. So we understand that, you know. So
absolutely, yes. But we got a lot of good stuff I'm so excited about today.
We do. And I want to talk about TMJ. I will tell you,
yes,
years ago I was in an accident. I've only had my jaw really lock up like once, and once in a while, you know, a little bit, but I have had it happen, but not on a regular basis. Some people like seem to have really bad TMJ, so maybe you can explain, you know, a little bit about what it is and how it happens.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, TMJ is part of the jaw, and it's associated with the joint, and there's muscles that are connected to that. And what happens is you know, in everyday life, listen, we always have lots of stuff going on. We have busy lives, and there's more stress today than I think there was in many years. So when you talk about TMJ, you talk about the tightening, the clenching that people do right at night. You know, sometimes people wear mouth guards. Sometimes people wear other types of apparatuses that really help to diminish that. But really what we talk about with TMJ is the tightening of the jaw, right? You get those muscles to shorten. You get those connective tissues to shorten. And what we do to treat it, besides all those wonderful things out there, like, for example, me, I don't know if you do. I don't know if we've had those conversations, but I wear a mouth guard because I do clench. And I also have issues with my TMJ. So that really helps to prevent my jaw from getting tight and being painful and lessening the range of motion that I have.
Right.
But also let's talk about signs. I think that's important to, you know, talk about. We know what TMJ is, and we'll explain that more, but also what signs are out there that people experience will give them more information if that's something that they're dealing with, right? So people get headaches from TMJ because of the clenching. Because that is so close to the ear and the jaw associates with the ear canal and the back of the skull, right? When we talk about the occipital area. So clenching, headaches, people sometimes get nausea, people get dizziness. People express shoulder and neck discomforts. These are all sort of issues that could possibly be associated with TMJ issues, that tight jaw, that painful discomfort that people associate with jaw and or earaches. Sometimes I'll get an earache, and I know that that's because I've been clenching and I've shut down that pathway. I've associated those muscles. They've gotten so tight that it's incorporated into sort of my ear canal a little bit.
Right, and I'm going to relate to you on that because I'm a clencher. I know I clench because I know my back.
You're a clencher.
I'm a clencher. Yeah, they're actually worn down, but I remember at one point, you know, being given a mouth device. The only problem is I can't keep it in my mouth overnight, so I spit it out. Yeah.
You got to film that. Wait.
I won't tell you the story about the time how my Great Dane actually, like, grabbed it and destroyed it, and I had to go, you know, after that I just kind of gave up. But I know also that it can cause neurological problems, correct? Because the
Absolutely.
Jaw is, like,
yeah.
pressing into the brain.
Yeah, it can. It's pretty rare that happens. You know, that's usually not a very common thing. The most common things that really people experience that I see with my clients that come in and that I sort of hear out there and that the studies are out there is most are headaches. You know, a lot of people get headaches. They get jaw pain. Sometimes they'll get shoulder and hand discomforts, right? Because when you're clenching and you're tightening things up, you're really also changing the mechanics of the body. You're changing the mechanics of the cervical spine, which is the 7 vertebrae at the top of your neck area that go from the base of your skull to just behind your back a little bit. So
okay.
when things get tight, there's going to be a compensation. Your head comes forwards. You know, people these days are on computers, and you try to do the best you can to get yourself ergonomically situated and correct. But it's tough. But these are the main common complaints and symptoms. Another great thing to do that we used to do back in my old practice is you take a Dixie cup, you fill it up with water, and you put it inside the freezer, and you do as an ice massage on the outside of your jaw. And you can touch as you open and close your jaw. If you put your fingers on your jaw and you open and close it, you'll feel those tight muscles. And it's a great way to decrease the inflammation. And it's
okay.
simple. We used to put a paper towel, wrap it around the cup or put it right underneath your cheek just to catch the dripping water so it doesn't go all over the place and you don't get wet.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I know it can be painful. It does kind of give you, like, I don't want to say, it's like a face ache instead of a headache sometimes, like on the sides
yeah.
where the
right.
jaw attaches, and it's not snapped in correctly, and it has to be re-snapped in, you know?
Exactly. And you know what's interesting, too, is I do a lot of TMJ stuff in my practice. I also do it on myself. And what happens, too, is, you know, when we go to the dentist for certain things, it can be pretty expensive. So when you're clenching your teeth and you're grinding and you've got some TMJ issues and your jaw's not going through its full range of motion, you know, it's going to be more expensive. You got to go to the dentist because you've chipped the
yeah.
tooth. You know, you're grinding your teeth. You got to get more apparatuses. So it's really great to sort of focus on this and get it taken care of. Find somebody, you're more than welcome to call me, find somebody that can help you and alleviate this and explain to you and actually show you things that you can do yourself, because you can do things proactively yourself for this. You don't have to go to somebody all the time. And that's what I like to do, and that's show people sort of how to do simple things.
Do you think that TMJ happens, like you said, because people are stressed? Is that, I mean, obviously you can get an accident that can throw your jaw out of alignment, but
yeah,
people
yeah,
who are clenching
yeah.
and they're stressed out, it's tightening everything, right? And that's when it can
it
just kind of lock in the wrong spot.
Like this week, I've been a bundle of nerves this whole week and tense, just lots of stuff going on. So I've noticed personally that, yeah, I have experienced some more discomfort in my joint this week. And yeah, I think stress is a huge part of and contributor to people that have jaw pain, ear pain, neck pain. It's a huge contributor to a lot of stuff that's going on in all of our lives. We got to get rid of it.
I agree. Now, yeah. One of the other things that I want to try and talk about is joint immobility and pain. You know, like when you, when you bend over, you know, I can think like if you try to, at my age now, if you try to touch your toes, you know, you might just fall over because you just can't do it, you know?
Yes. No, don't do that. We don't want that to happen. It's huge. Immobility is such a large part of what's going on today, and it doesn't just affect our seniors in middle age. I mean, it's affecting people that are my age. It's affecting people in different age groups. And really what happens is it comes from a variety of different things. So let's talk about the activity levels, right?
Right.
You and I have different activity levels, and so does everybody else. I'm a pretty
high active guy. Yeah, you move around a lot
guy.
And I sit.
and so, you know, what's interesting, and there are comparisons, but for those people that are really active, even though they're active, that doesn't necessarily mean that they have specific areas in their bodies that don't need to be stretched out or that are having issues with lack of mobility. But as we notice, as we get older, as we've been active with compounding things such as running and all those other types of sports that compound the joints, creating more scar tissue, creating more arthritis, it's really important to get into routines that minimize the tightness, the joint stress, the immobility. And I noticed that in my clients that are in their 70s and 80s, we go through a huge routine that really specifies what their needs are regarding the challenges they have with the immobilities of their joints. Because a lot of the times you want to prevent falling, right? We talked about that last week. And that has a lot to do with balance issues, is if you don't have the right range of motion in a specific area, you're not able to either bring that foot forwards, you know, your bend forwards. There's lots of issues, and we can prevent a lot of that. And you can prevent a lot of that.
I know, but, you know, I tend to think that I can do as much as I used to when I was younger. So, you know, then you tend to overdo. Like, I go, okay, I can stretch out, but, you know, I want to really stretch out as opposed to starting slowly and working myself up, you know.
Right.
So I compare myself to when I was younger and the activities I used to do, and now as you get older, no one ever tells you this. It's like
older, are we?
I don't know. Well, you know, you get a lot more exercise than I do. But, you know, it's like you move slower. You move slower when you get older, and I can actually feel it. And I know I have to try and get more active and get more more cardio in, but unlike you, I don't like to run. I like to swim. So I'm in Florida, so when the weather's great,
I can
go to the pool and do the swimming, and that's low impact for me and less dangerous, I think, for me than trying to do something where, you know, my knees, like if I work on the Cybex machines and I'm trying to stretch out and I'm like, my knees are hurting now. What am I going to do?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting. You know, I ask a lot of my clients that come in, you know, what are some of your concerns? You know, do you have pain when you bend? And we go through those movements, and you can really see the compensations. You can see the lack of mobility. And I think, you know, as we get older, the concerns that I get are the fear of falling, and that's a huge thing, you know. And the other thing is, you know, I ask my clients, you know, have you tried stretching and it doesn't help? And that's when I incorporate what you and I have talked about on the show before, is the myofascial body work, the muscle work that incorporates specific pressures to muscle bellies to open up those muscles and to free those muscles away from the joints to increase that joint mobility so that joint has space. And a lot of that is hugely successful and very helpful.
All right. Well, I want to talk more about it, but I do want to go to a commercial break. Again, if you want to call in live, the number is 888-627-6008. We will take a short commercial break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Body Talk Live with Jeremy Gateman, and we've been talking a little bit about joint immobility and pain, and you're talking when you get older. So let's kind of elaborate a little bit, like, name some of the things that people can do slow to get themselves back.
You know, even at my age, I'm 44 years old. I am pretty active. I as well, have some arthritis, and for me, I need to really stay active, but I also need to incorporate a routine that balances between stretching and some other types of movements that really help me to be more mobile. And, you and I spoke about utilizing the tennis balls and the lacrosse balls sort of to the low back and the thoracic spine right in between the vertebrae when you lay down. That's a huge thing. And as we call the thoracic spine the epicenter of where things can progress from there, the thoracic spine really holds a lot of tightness and it really challenges the rest of the body. So that's one great tool. Yeah.
Yep. And what I want to continue on, but you have a caller, Laura. Laura, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, good.
Hi there.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Tell us what's going on.
So I had a question. About a year and a half ago, I was getting into my car, and I guess I twisted weird or something, and I ended up dislocating my kneecap. And I never went to physical therapy because of, an issue with our insurance and everything.
Sure.
So whenever I do, I'm walking for a while or if I'm at the gym and I'm doing a class, sometimes I experience some pain in it. And I just don't know what's, if I should keep pushing it or what I can do to strengthen it or anything.
Yeah. Good questions. And you said this was how long ago?
About a year and a half ago.
About a year and a half ago. Okay. And did you ever have it looked at by a professional or just sort of let it take its course in time and heal on its own?
I mean, the only time when they popped it back in, I stayed for a tiny bit after and they ended up looking at it, just making sure that it was all good. But I never saw anyone after that.
Okay. And do you still have discomfort and pain now with your knee at all through specific movements or activities?
It's not. Mostly it's not specific movements. It's just over time. Like if I'm riding a bike for over 10 minutes or if I'm on the treadmill for over 20 minutes or it's just long uses of it.
And is it surrounding the actual knee joint or is it above the knee? It's what now?
It's pretty much surrounding it. And I almost,
it's surrounding
it almost
the
feels,
knee?
Yeah, and the pain almost just feels like it's just really weak. The kneecap is just super tired,
Yeah. No, here's, some great suggestions. And again, these are just purely suggestions. Eventually, if you have the time and you can get it checked out, that would be a great thing to do just to make sure that things are okay. But what you can do is, the cycling is great as long as there's no discomfort. When you talk about engaging yourself in specific classes and stuff at your gym, I would kind of hold off on that and take a little bit more time with going through some stretches and going through what they call quad sets, which is you're going to take a pillow or a thick towel. You're going to put it under your knee as you're laying on your back, right? So that right underneath your knee, you're going to put that pillow or that towel. And you're going to raise, with your toe flexed towards you, you're going to raise your knee, your toe, as the leg sort of depresses into that towel or that pillow. And you want to start getting those muscles that associate with the patella, which is your quadricep muscles, a little bit stronger. And another great simple thing to do is get on your back with your legs bent and get on your heels and lift your butt and back up. And that's going to help you engage your hamstrings. And that's another super functional thing to do to balance out and support that knee.
Okay. If I feel any pain at all, I should stop or should I push myself a little bit?
There's going to be some discomfort with engaging any new type of exercise, specifically if you really haven't engaged it before, I think you're going to go through some discomforts. But I think if you're getting to a point where it's getting really painful, then stop. Take some time to ice and heat your knee a little bit. The best thing to do is heat it up first because it increases circulation. And so things are going to be nice and loose in there, which you kind of want. And when you're done doing your exercise, if you have any discomfort, and I sort of like to do it anyway with all my clients, is after exercise during a specific injury is tell them to do ice for 15 or 20 minutes. But start off slow. You know, get yourself, I think what may be better is if you're going to do the bike, do an upright bike, right? Don't do the recumbent bike because it puts you in a position to where you're going to put more stress on the knee. You want to sort of get a vertical angle to where you're going through a circular motion without specific pressure on that knee. Mm-hmm. And start it, you know, maybe get on there for 10 minutes and evaluate and see how you feel.
Okay.
All right. I hope that helps you out.
Yeah,
do you have
great.
Any other questions for us at all?
No, I think that's it. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Thank you. Appreciate your call.
Bye.
Excellent. Well, on that note, we're going to go to a quick break, and we will be right back. Welcome back to Body Talk Live with Jeremy Gateman. We're taking live callers at 888-627-6008. And if you want to get a hold of Jeremy Gateman, you can reach him at 310-994-9477. Well, Laura was a great caller, had some good questions.
Yes.
And I know we kind of got cut off in the middle. So in this part, what I want to try to finish up is, you know, we were talking about the stretching and how it doesn't help it. In some of the notes you sent me, you wrote something which hits me. Trouble holding a glass or opening a can due to hand pain and strength issues. Well, I'm just going to say, I don't, you know, I think it's the manufacturers that make the cans. Because, you know, my other half is a physically powerful man, and yet I can't open anything with a cap on. It's forget about childproof. They're adult-proof. You can't even turn them open nowadays.
It's crazy, right?
Well, I wonder what, like, seniors do when they can't use something to open it.
Right. You know, it's really interesting that is one of the things specifically us, you know, yourself, myself, we use our hands a lot, you know, people that type. And that's one of the things that I notice goes really quickly is your hand strength.
Right.
And there's a lot of great things. And if I can real quick, I just kind of want to go back to one quick thing is when we were talking about the joint mobility and the discomforts. And I think that there's a lot of fears out there. And one of the things are the fears of getting away from your hobbies and things that you enjoy doing because you're finding them to be more difficult. And that's one thing that I really like to do in my practice is, and that incorporates a lot with the myofascial body work, but really teaching people about their bodies, getting them in tune about what's going on, no matter what age they are. They can come in completely bent forwards. We'll fix that. And but the most important thing is getting them to get back to the things that they like to do. There's no reason why you have to get away from gardening or you have to get away from, you know, specific hobbies and things that you enjoy because you either have pain or it's difficult. You get fatigued. There are remedies. And
yeah,
I think it's not medical.
Like if you start slowly, though, I think that's the key
you
thing.
Do.
Not like me, who I just want to jump right in and say, okay, I can
don't.
Do it. You know, and I can tell you, like, the time I put on a pair of rollerblades and, you know, slid down the incline, boom. And I went, oh, I can still do this, you know, and I hadn't done it for 20 years. Those are some dumb things, but I'm sure people go, oh, I can still do that. And then, you know, you really can't, and you got to start out at a much slower pace so that you don't hurt yourself, right?
Pace, listen, absolutely. Pace is really important. You know, I'm a firm believer in taking the time to stretch. You know, I like to teach people that, you know, you never want to go to a place where you stretch, for example, your hamstrings, which are the muscles behind your legs, above your calf. Is you want to just engage that muscle, right? You never want to go to a place where you are pushing it to where you really feel the stretch. And that's a counterproductive thing to do at some point, specifically if you're just starting a routine. Get yourself to a point where you just start to feel those muscles engage in a little bit of a stretch. And that goes for a variety of different muscles in your body, wherever you're stretching, whether it's quadriceps, hamstrings, calves. You got to get your body used to it. And pace and time is super important.
Well, let me ask you another question.
Yeah.
We're both musicians. I know you play drums and I play piano. And I think
those
things also help you if you play a musical instrument where you're using both your hands, kind of, you know, you can still stretch out your hands before you do those things. But I think that still helps your hands kind of not crunch up.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, you're a musician. I'm a musician. You play piano and I'm a drummer. And for me, I do this. I take two socks and I'll take two thick athletic socks and I'll fold them inside out, right? So you got this big ball.
Okay.
And I'll go through squeezes. And I show this to my clients too, the clients that have arthritis in their hands or that have lack of strength. Because if you go and you get one of those soft balls, you really can't get it into your hands. You know, they've got these gel balls. Yeah, they're great, but I'm not necessarily a fan. When you have a sock, it really can incorporate the inside part of your hand, right? No matter what size.
Right.
And you are able to go through squeezing it and you can feel it instead of having something surrounding your hands that you really can't get your hands on and squeeze. So
it's almost too big. Yeah. You try to
It's too big. It's too small, or even though they have different strengths, it just sometimes, you know, I hear, God, I just can't squeeze it. You know, I can't get in there and I can't squeeze it. I can't seem to move this ball. The sock or the socks work really, really well. And you just take them and you fold them inside out. And I keep them here at my office and I go through this exercise routine with my clients. It's a really easy thing to do. In fact, sounds silly or not, when they do graduate to being able to use one of these balls, I'll tell them, go ahead and fill up your sink. And you can try this. Fill up your sink, get one of those soft, squishy balls, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even a dog toy, something that's soft. Put your hand in the warm water and go through that active range of motion of squeezing. Because you're squeezing all that stuff out and you're increasing circulation in the joint, possibly where you have some arthritis. It's a great thing to do and super easy.
That one does. Now, what about like bending and lifting and kneeling, you know, because you're concerned you might kind of tip over? And I've had that happen, you know, if you kneel down and you stand up too fast.
Yeah. In what regards? What do you mean in regards to bending and lifting?
Well, in other words, some people like me
can be
off balance. Like you can be off balance because if you're sitting down, like I'll sit down on the floor, we almost eat Japanese style at the coffee table in front of the TV every night, you know. And then it's like Dan is trying to give me a hand to get back up so I don't fall over.
I need to put a spy cam in your house. This will be great. Felisa and I and my son are going to sit down. This will be classic. This is great. You guys have all these wonderful things going on with the dog. This is cool.
The dog makes life interesting because it's a great, you know, it's a Great Dane. So what I didn't tell you last time was the dog, when we were doing the show, the dog was 160 pounds was actually sitting on me.
I know.
He thinks he's a little puppy, you know.
Yeah, exactly. You know, when it comes to bending and lifting, it comes also from if people out there are having problems with bending and lifting. Listen, there's certain ways to bend and lift, and we all are guilty. We all forget about it, and that's when injuries occur, specifically when lifting and bending over for something specific. But the most important thing as we get older, and I think this really pertains to the senior population out there, is get it resolved. If bending and lifting is an important part of your daily activities, get help with the joint. That's me.
That's what you do.
Call me. This is what I do. You know, it's the great thing that I love about what I do is the one-on-one time that I get to have with that person. And it's not just a treatment. It's a whole sort of pie, and that's just one part of the slice. We're going to go through a lot of educational stuff, and I think that that's really something that people really enjoy when they come to see me, is it's not just a treatment. It's not just a discussion about, you know, what their pain is and how are we going to resolve it. It's an actual whole plan that I come up with. We go through everything. It's educational, and we fix your issue.
Right. Well, that's because you're a life changer. Now, we're going to go to a
commercial
break again. If you want to call in, it's 888-627-6008. Let's do a quick break. Back in just a second. Here we are back on Body Talk Live with Jeremy Gateman, and we have a caller, Jeff. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you very much.
Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing just great today. Thank you.
Good. Sorry, Lori, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, I know you're going to talk to Jeff, so and I know how you told me Jeff is a great guy and all these wonderful things, so we've got like 10 minutes, so Jeff, go.
All right. Jeff, let's talk. I so appreciate you taking the time and being on Body Talk Live. It's great. So let's first talk about you, because I want to talk about you a little bit. You do so many wonderful things, and you're such an active guy besides, you know, coming in and seeing me. You're also a huge cook. You love to cook?
Absolutely.
And give me some info, a little bit more on, you know, on your cooking, because I know you have great healthy recipes and stuff like that, and how you like to incorporate that into your life.
You know, I love anything I can imagine. I like cooking, and you know, I try to stay as healthy as possible and keep an even and well balanced diet. And you know, it's been a passion of mine since I was very young.
Yeah. That's awesome. Who taught you? Did you, I know we've had these conversations before.
You know, I originally learned from my mom and my grandmother, and I sat in the kitchen with them and watched over their shoulders. You know, it was always very important for me that when I got older, I would have my grandmother's and mom's recipes, so that, you know, I could pass them down to future generations.
Yeah, I love that. Yes, that's cool. Let's talk about how we met. I don't remember. Tell me how we got together and what brought you into see me. And this was, three and a half years ago.
Through a mutual friend
that
I was doing real estate with at the time. And when I was younger, I had had a skiing accident and had lower back and hip problems. And, you know, progressively as I got older, the hip problems got worse.
Yeah.
And I had a friend that, you know, said, oh, you got to meet this guy. He is somebody that, you know, will actually get you fixed up. I was going to chiropractors and different types of massage therapist and even a rolfer. And, you know, nothing seemed to be working. And then when we met each other, in a very short period of time, you know, whipped me right into shape by, you know, re-triggering muscles that hadn't been working and, you know, essentially retraining my body to get back into shape. And it is, it's been such a treat. You know, I could never thank you enough.
Oh, man, I appreciate it. Gosh, and I'm so glad that you know, that we're doing great work. You and I are working now to resolve some issues that you're experiencing with your low back and your hips and stuff. But, you know, for me, in an example with you and I working together, and I think you can elaborate a little bit on this too, is I'm not one to just go to the source, even though if someone comes in and says, gosh, my back hurts, I want to get more information and I want to correct the issue of why your back is hurting. So for me, it's working from, as I've shared on the shows before, you know, I like to work from head to toe and look at things that are working and not working. And I think for me, and that's the way you and I work, you know, when I have you come into the office or anybody else, you know, I have you stand up, we talk, how are you feeling? But we want to look at what's going on because things change over time. But I also want to make those corrections, as you said before when we started together, is I want to get to the I'm trying to think of the circle. I want to get to the epicenter of what's going on, that target of why you're experiencing, and make those corrections.
Right. And with me, it was originally you know, a weight issue that I had put on extra weight, as, you know, I think most people do. And, you know, as we get older, there's more work and less time for exercise and, you know, doing the physical activities we want. So, you gain a belly and all of a sudden you start leaning forward. And after that, your shoulders start dipping forward and your hips get out of place and, you know, you're not supporting yourself properly. And that's why, you know, working on a proper diet and, you know, having proper posture, you know, is important to keeping the body in the positions that they need to be in. And once the body falls out of position, you know, everything starts falling apart, you know, one part at a time. So when, know, the hips go, the legs go, the feet go, the back go, and, you know, at that point, you know, you can be a mess.
And what's interesting, too, is most people don't know when that happens, right? The only thing they know, and it's a scary thing, is that they have pain, right? They have back pain, they have leg pain, they have neck pain. And that fear sort of drives them into other things. You know, it drives them into taking, you know, specific pain medication. It drives them into doing things that necessarily aren't most productive. And that's where, for me, I want people to know about my method and how I do things, because it's so important that people get to know themselves, and that's what I want to teach. But what's also really interesting, too, is, and you and I have talked about this, because I have ulcerative colitis, and you've really guided me with some things, is you also have been in and have studied a lot over the last 10 or 15 years regarding cannabis, right? And marijuana, and coming up with things. You know, you have a store and you are really involved with wanting to help people educate themselves with specific things that they have going on, whether it's back issues, whether it's cancer, whether it's people that have colitis issues. You know, tell me what your thoughts are about that a little bit.
My thoughts on it are, you know, in the states that, you know, medical marijuana and recreational marijuana is legal, I think it's, you know, a safer alternative than using a lot of the different pharmaceutical medications that are being made. You know, they are natural methods. And I think that they can work very well in conjunction with, you know, exercise and a healthy diet.
Program.
You know, you know, they had the discovery of cannabinoids about 10 years ago, which work as, you know, fantastic anti-inflammatories. And THC, which can be used as, you know, for painkiller.
Right.
And other things, but really you have to use it in conjunction with, you know, let's say somebody like you that can, you know, help you to get the body back into shape. You know, there are many different things out there that can ameliorate problems, but they don't really fix them. So if you went to your doctor and your doctor prescribed you some kind of a painkiller or a muscle relaxer, it will temporarily aid whatever the issue or the problem is.
Right.
You know, you can take aspirin every day, which is an anti-inflammatory, but at the same time, in order to truly fix the problems, you can take all of these things, but you need the exercises. Sure. You need to stretch. The body needs to circulate the blood, and, you know, you have to keep the organs strong.
And we've talked also in previous shows about, you know, fish oils, and I think we touched a little bit on turmeric in regards to anti-inflammatory purposes, but I really want to hit real quick before we go to break is I think people have misconceptions of what cannabis is and how it can help you. You know, there's some tinctures, liquids out there to where there is no, I guess you could say, psychedelic or high effects, to where you don't feel anything, but yet it's working in the inside part of the body and decreasing inflammation and pain. And give me a little bit more information on that that people know about.
Is that part a different part of the plant?
No, there's, you know, inside of the plant, there's, you know, different oils and different cannabinoids. So it's all a part of the plant. It's just, you know, the plant consists of, you know, THC, CBD, and a whole list of other different cannabinoids. You know, and they can be extracted, and, you know, certain varieties of plants are higher in CBD and others are higher in THC. For example, the hemp plant, you know, has virtually zero THC and is high in CBD.
Is the anti-inflammatory part that won't give somebody the effects?
The CBD is has anti-inflammatory properties, while the THC one has more of, you know, can have the quote-unquote, you know, the narcotic effect of it.
Right. And they're even using this on animals, right? They're using the CBD in tinctures and things like that for people that have animals with arthritis issues and joint pain.
Yep. You know, I have a friend that has a dog who takes CBD biscuits, and she had two surgeries on her legs, and supposedly it helps her a lot, or she seems to, obviously she can't really say anything, but she seems to be walking a lot better and, you know, seems to be in less pain.
Well, we're going to have to cut it and go to a commercial break. So I want to thank you, Jeff. And also, I think we need to have you back as a guest, because I think we have a lot more questions on this, right?
It would be my absolute pleasure anytime.
Jeff, man, we are having you back next week, buddy.
All right. Sounds great.
Yeah.
I love you, man.
To you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you guys so much. And I look forward to talking to you guys again soon.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff. I so appreciate it.
We are back on Body Talk Live with Jeremy Gateman. And Jeremy, I think Jeff was like a wealth of information there that we have to have him back.
We are going to have him back next week. So if you know, you guys out there that are listening to the show and this was really interesting, Jeff will be back next week. It'll be a great conversation to where we can continue this conversation. And I'll write up some more stuff to where we can actually have a topic about, you know, cannabis and the differences and how it can help us. You know, I use it personally. What's that?
Yeah, I think they just legalized it here for medical use in Florida. I don't think it's legal in every state yet, but, you know.
No, it's not, yeah.
But, you know, the problem is it should be, but then that goes into, you know, how it cuts into the RX, the prescription companies, the drug companies, and that's a whole nother
issue.
Right,
right,
right.
But what's so, you know, great about Jeff is, yeah, he is such a book, dictionary of knowledge. And, you know, people actually search him out because of not only his store, but because of his knowledge base. You know, when I first met him, I had a bad outbreak with my ulcerative colitis, and he made me this stuff. And it was amazing. You know, it was just specifically for inflammation. There was no psychedelic or, you know, high type. There was no THC in there. It was just CBD. And let me tell you, it was amazing. It really calmed down my flare.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It was awesome.
I mean, here you can buy the hemp oil, the cannabis hemp oil, which I've taken to help me go to sleep. That you can buy, but, you know, in certain stores. But anyway, that would help me sleep on the nights that I'm awake, you know, because I'm a thinker and my brain's always on the roll. And if I just take
you and my wife.
I know your wife sounds exactly like me. But, you know, always going, you know, the brain's going at night, going, oh, what happened all day and what's happening tomorrow? And, you know, you just go to sleep and you put all your stuff in a box and, you know, or a drawer and you shut it and you go, okay, I'm sleeping. You're out in seconds and then you get up the next day. We don't operate quite like that, you know?
I know. Yeah, I know. But, yeah, he's really a great guy and I'll look forward to,
Let's have him back. Let's kind of finish up the last segment here, because we want to talk a little bit about reading labels. And I know that we've discussed that before, because I know that, you know, it's funny, every label I look at has chemicals in it. And so I think I said to you way back when we first started the show, if I actually took everything that I like to eat, read the labels, I wouldn't be able to buy any of it because it would all be poison.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Isn't that scary?
Scary. It is. And like, you know, I have high blood pressure, which I only had the last few years. And so you're supposed to watch for salt, but salt is in everything. Sugar is in everything. You know, no matter what it is, it's so how do you, if you're reading the label, what do you do? You got to write that cookbook.
I know. Did I give you, by the way, just to quickly interrupt, did I give you that cookie recipe that we did over the weekend?
You were telling me
with
that.
With the bananas.
Share it with our listeners.
Did I tell you about that?
You told me about it, yeah.
I did, yeah. All right, so that's going to be in the cookbook, but that's one, you know, little thing that is pretty cool. In fact, I'll share it with people real quick. This is a great thing either for your kids or for yourselves, and it's healthy because it's a non-processed thing that you can use as a sweet or as a cookie. It's, you take 4 to 6 ripe bananas, you mush them up, you add in some oats, rolled oats, and I added a little bit of cocoa powder, just a little bit for flavoring. You mix it all up, and you let it sit out for about 20 minutes, and then you make cookies on parchment paper. You put it in the oven at 350 for 10 minutes, and you're done. And it was really cool. Anyway, sorry for the little sidetrack there. It was cool. But yeah, back to reading labels. Man, it's so scary when I usually do the marketing with my son. It's something that we've done ever since he was actually a baby in a carrier, and we continue to do it together, and it's just something I thoroughly enjoy. But man, when you look at those labels, it's frightening. You know, when you look at the cans, you know, what even the packaged processed foods, you know, and that's also all the ingredients that are in there, all the preservatives that are in there. And I understand today that people have limited amounts of time to do cooking. And as we've talked about in prior shows, you know, cooking ahead of time, doing prep work makes all the difference in the world. Take, you know, a couple hours on a Saturday or Sunday or some night during the week and make some meals or one meal that you can spread out over 3-4 days. And it really limits the having to buy those processed foods. But let's talk about reading labels, because I'm a huge label reader. My wife thinks I'm crazy, but it makes all the sense in the world, at least for me and for my family.
Yeah,
you know, you really want to
do all the shopping.
Exactly. You know, and she does some stuff too. But when you look at these labels and you really want to focus on, you know, let's take a bag of cookies, right? You go to Trader Joe's and you buy these awesome called chocolate chip dunkers, right? They're amazing. They're these long chocolate chip cookies. You want to look at, and just as that as an example, look at the serving size, right? How many cookies do you get in a serving size, and how many calories does that up to, and how many grams of sugar, how many grams of fat does that up to? And that's really important, specifically for those people such as myself that want to keep, you know, a specific weight level, or if you want to lose weight, because if you go beyond that serving size, if it says eat two cookies for, you know, 200 calories and you eat four, well, now you got you got 200 extra calories, right?
Yeah, that's me. That's me. Because you know why? If it's in the bag, which is what most people do, they don't read the serving size. They just go, oh, a bag of cookies.
Right.
I'll just sit in front of the TV and I'll just eat the cookies. That makes me Ted Bundy.
Hey, wait. You know what you and I are going to do next? We're going to be on that TV. So we're going to be there, and we're going to tell those people, put down that bag.
Yeah, exactly. We'll be the sugar police.
Exactly. You know, the best part about, you know, a bag of cookies, box of cookies, take it out of the bag, take it out of the box. You know, look at the back. If it says two cookies, you know, this is the serving size. You get this many calories, you know, and it runs down, you know, to your sugars and your proteins, whatever is inside. Try to stick with that. You know, if it tells you four cookies, do four cookies. It's almost like, even as a healthy thing, not even cookies, almonds. Same thing. If you buy a big bag of almonds, it's going to give you a serving size of probably 8 to 12 almonds for, you know, 140 or 260 calories, and it goes down and it tells you, you know, how many grams of fat, how many grams of sugar, how many sodium grams. But the one thing that you really want to focus on with the canned foods, whether it's soups, it's vegetables, and it's also the frozen processed foods too, is look at your trans fats, your saturated fats, and look at the sodium level, because that's really important. The more you eat of these types of foods, processed foods, listen, they're you know, sodium's natural, but they also add preservatives in there to make sure that the food lasts longer. And these are things that you want to look at. You also want to look at, on the good signs, you want to look at the grams of fiber, right? Good stuff. You want to look at the proteins, all good stuff, your calcium and other nutrients such as vitamins and minerals that are in this. Those are the things that you want to pay attention to. The highlighted ones that you want to really focus on and sort of put your headlights on is your trans fats, your saturated fats, your sodium, and the other ingredients that they're putting in there to preserve this type of food.
Right. And we're going to run out of time. And I think for the next show, I want to actually start out with this because we didn't get to cover everything, you know, on the foods. And I think that's important. I think you need to make a list of all the foods that I'm allowed to eat. And then I can just eat off that list.
Oh, you got it. I'm going to get working on it. That's a great idea.
Yeah. So another great show. If you want to reach Jeremy Gateman, it's 310-994-9477. Thanks for joining us on Body Talk Live with Jeremy Gateman of Total Fit and Rehab. Join us again next week for another exciting and informative show. And you can check out his website page at totalfitandrehab.com. Be well.
I know I'm wasting all my time. Standing in that coffee line. That we've been sitting around the table. Drinking Java by the cup. You know what? My lady wants me home. But when I sit down, I can't get up.